We pray. Heavenly Father, God of glory and grace, you have promised to always be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. In the best of days and the worst of trials, you are our strength and our stay, our ever great reward. May we sing your praise now, here, in time militant, and in time triumphant and glory everlasting. To you be our thanks and praise, in Christ our Savior. Amen. I'm in my 60s, and yet I can still remember 50 years ago, my grandmother Hattie and her words that she had for us as she stood by the kitchen sink drying dishes, all of 5 feet tall, curly red hair, horn-rimmed glasses, and a simple cotton dress that just barely came above her ankles. Shaking her head and in the most serious tone saying, "Oh, I'm glad I'm old and about to be gone. I pity you kids and the life you have to live with the way this world is turning out." She was very afraid for us. Well, with the liberated drugs and sex scene of the 60s, with violence in the streets over the Vietnam War, with the assassination of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr., Grandma Hattie might have some real reason to be concerned. I can hear Hattie's words ever more clearly now these days because I hear them coming out of my own mouth. How are our children ever to live their Christian faith in such an evil and hostile world? The prophet Daniel, who was hauled off from Jerusalem over to Babylon when he was but a teenager, who served as a high official in two pagan governments, and who was called by God to be his powerful prophet for over 70 years, Daniel saw a vision from the Lord, a vision that makes us grab our head in pain and fall to our knees sobbing. God told Daniel, "There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then." Wow. What is ahead for our kids in our school, in our nurseries, for those yet unborn? There's trouble and triumph ahead for God's chosen people. It seems to me that the live and let live crowd has transformed itself into the party of silence and destroy all opposition. I fear that in another 50 years or so, militant leaders in society will aim their guns at Christians. My mind imagines 50 years out from now, as we drive into the parking lot and we walk to the church doors, that protesters confront us, marching in circles, as trying to stop us from getting in, screaming in our faces, swinging signs that read, "Oh, the church of hate. Intolerance spoken here. Women's rights denied. Judgmental cannibals. Moralistic Puritans." They chant for the government to shut down this hate speech. Times of distress may come from street mobs, demanding every Christian to wear a big, bold cross necklace or face a beating by vigilantes. In my imagination, the militant anti-Christian leaders will demand a big, bold cross just so that employers can reach behind their desk and file our resumes in their shredders. So landlords lock the doors and pull down the drapes to keep the undesirables from their apartments. So neighborhoods can stay clean, not allowing Christian riffraff to live next door. So schools provide separate, segregated classrooms so the good kids aren't exposed to dangerous doctrines. Does that all sound ridiculous? This is daily life for millions of Christians throughout the world. Life today in Pakistan, maybe life tomorrow in America. Jesus himself prophesied, "The time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God." Will Christians even be rounded up and sent to ghettos? Will we be assigned to go to the re-education camps of no return? Never in America, right? There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. When? When will this distress come? Daniel said, at that time. At what time? The first 11 chapters of Daniel's prophecy tells us about the rise and fall of many nations and empires, starting with Cyrus and the Medo-Persians, moving on to Alexander the Great, the Greeks, Egypt, of Rome at that time. After those kingdoms have come and gone, there will be a distress that will come like never before. I can't think of any other distress so grievous and awful as that time when Satan moved evil people to crucify the Lord of glory. What were the angels in heaven who sang glory to God in the highest feeling when they saw the lashes of the whips rip open Jesus' back? When they witnessed God's blood draining out of his veins? When they saw his body slowly growing weaker and weaker as they heard Jesus commit his soul into the hands of his heavenly Father, bowing his head to die? There's both trouble and triumph ahead for God's chosen people, because where there is trouble, Jesus comes with his triumph. On that Good Friday, Jesus brought triumph out of the deepest distress, out of the most horrible, dark, and evil attack of Satan. Satan wanted God destroyed. But Jesus was triumphant in paying for the sins of the entire world, of freeing us from the control of Satan and the grasp of hell, triumphantly rising from the dead and ascending back to his throne in heaven in all glory and power. Whatever trouble we look at, right next to it, in that very moment, in the midst of that suffering, there is Jesus' triumph. Whether we look at the distressing days of the early New Testament church, when Christians were hiding out in the Roman catacombs or being skewered and set on fire by Nero, or whether we look at those dark days of the Roman papacy when they introduced work righteousness, denied clergy marriage, and burned to death many Christians who simply just spoke the gospel. Or whether we talk about today's humanists who seek to empty the church of any meaning at all. Or whether we fear the radical Muslims who view each severed Christian head as a good work to earn their way to Muslim paradise. We see in it all that Jesus delivers his people. Daniel prophesied, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered." Like Daniel in the lion's den, sometimes God delivers us by closing the mouths of our lions so that they cannot sink their teeth into our flesh or break our necks in their jaws. Sometimes God uses our enemies to teach us that a mighty fortress is our God and how to put on the full armor of God. And sometimes God uses our enemies to take us home to heaven. Who is triumphant when we go home to heaven? Our enemies think they've won because they've silenced us. But soon their days will be over, and they'll see the big picture. In his vision, Daniel sees the death and resurrection of the Messiah and the judgment day that's coming almost happening simultaneously. But we who are standing here and waiting in these distressing days, waiting for Christ's return, we actually see years between Christ's first appearance and his final appearance. Oh, what a day that day of triumph will be. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You think I'm ugly now? Just wait until I've been in my coffin for 50 or 100 years. On that judgment day, Jesus will come and stand over our graves. With a word, he'll peel back the sod. With a word, the topsoil, the clay, and the rocks that hold our casket in place will be scooped out. With a word, the lid of our vault will float away like a balloon, and our caskets will burst open. In that box lie our dark, leathery bag of bones. With a word, our eyes will open in a new life. Paul tells us that Jesus will transform our lowly, worm-eaten bodies so that they will be like his glorious heavenly body. Each of us, the mortal remains of every Christian, will step out of the grave, its urn, the ocean, with a body like Christ's body. Oh. And what is even better, that after our new body and our soul that has been with Jesus in heaven, after they are reunited, we will enjoy everlasting life with Jesus. Is that not triumph? Saints triumphant in Jesus' victory. We cannot lose because victory has already been won. What can evil people and even the demons of hell do to us now Nothing can separate us from the love and power of our Savior. Judgment Day will be a disaster for unbelievers. Others will awake to shame and everlasting contempt. Persecution is designed to silence us from speaking about Jesus Christ. But as God shows us the future, we realize how important it is to share that good news that Jesus has paid for the sins of the entire world, of all people. God calls us to lead many to Christ's righteousness. Our children, our family, our friends, total strangers. It breaks our heart to think of the judgment that is waiting for those who have heard God's word and rejected the word of life. But what about our friends with whom we play games, go hunting, plan parties, vacation, but we yet haven't shared with them the good news of Jesus, our Savior? What about our children, who we assume know all about Jesus because we know all about him, even though we almost never bring them to church and never worry about Sunday school or catechism, never give a thought to Bible study because that just isn't something our family does? What about our unbelieving children when we come out of our graves victorious and they come out of their graves to everlasting shame and contempt? God has placed those souls in our care for but a few days, and then they're gone. My grandmother Hattie's words still ring in my ears. How will our children ever be able to live their Christian faith in such an evil and hostile world? How will any of us? By continuing to feed our faith and theirs in the Word of God. That which has called us to faith sustains and protects that faith. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day of our Lord. Soon the day of judgment will come. Saints of God, rejoice in Jesus' triumph. Children of the Almighty, reach out with that life-giving gospel to everyone we know and meet so that they might join us in the great resurrection, in the triumph of God's grace. Let us not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with the good news of our Savior that has ransomed and rescued us. To God be the glory, now and always. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all glory, our times are in your hands. Use us. Keep our eyes ever fixed on heaven. Come quickly, dear Lord, to our rescue and empower us to be about the will, the work you've placed before us, all and only to your glory. In Christ our Savior, amen.